You're listening to the Sermon Podcast by Southside Baptist Church in Florence, South Carolina. We exist to know God and to make Jesus known. For more up-to-date information, check us out at southsidenow.church.
Well, amen. If you have your Bibles, turn over to Proverbs chapter 31. Proverbs chapter 31, and we'll start in verse 10. And so once again, happy Mother's Day to all you mothers. You are important to our lives, our families, our church. Thank you for all that you do. And I realize as well that maybe Mother's Day is a sad day for you, and it makes you think of your mother that you miss very dearly, and I can understand that, and we sympathize with you and think of all the blessings God gave you through having a wonderful mother, and the example that she set. I'm thankful for my mother raising us four boys, and for loving our families, and for my wife, who, of course, is a mother to our children, and my mother-in-law. I have a wonderful mother-in-law, even though I tell mother-in-law jokes every now and then. She really is. And in fact, my mother-in-law and my father-in-law, they've been hiking the Appalachian Trail. They sold their house, so we've been jokingly jabbing them a little bit that they're homeless, hiking the Appalachian Trail, really appreciate them. Let's start in verse 10. It says, who can find a virtuous and capable wife? She is more precious than rubies. Let's pray. Father, as we come before your throne, we're thankful for our moms. Thank you for the gift that they are in our lives, how they've raised us, how they've taught us, how they continue to love on us to this day. We thank you. We ask for your blessing here this morning as we worship the name of Jesus. And thank you for all the blessings you've given us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. First Mother's Day, 1914. Before that, I guess every day was Mother's Day. But 1914, they decided they wanted to honor moms, and because of how special they are to us and how much they do in our lives. There are some things that moms deal with that men do not. For example, some of the things that children ask their mother: Mom, where's the towel? Mom, what are we going to eat for dinner? Mom, what time is it? Mom, where's my phone? Mom, come here. Mom, what day is it? If you call me mom one more stuff, you ask dad. Where's mom? Anyway. I saw someone ask on Facebook, what are three things that moms need the most? Number three was help folding the laundry. Two, a maid. Number one, sleep. Sleep. The Bible tells us that every good and perfect gift is from above. Our wives and our mothers are a gift from the Lord. William Golding said this, and it's true. It's true about a woman. Whatever you give a woman, she will make greater. If you give her sperm, she'll give you a baby. If you give her a house, she'll give you a home. If you give her groceries, she'll give you a meal. If you give her a smile, she'll give you her heart. She multiplies what is given to her. And it seems that in society today, as much as they try to claim that they try to lift up females and mothers, they really have done more to tear them down, to objectify them, to ignore them, and even to the lengths of men and women's sports, and so on. It's disappointing, and it's something that should not be going on. See, ladies, God designed you, created you, and He knows what will satisfy and bring fulfillment to your life. This proverb is God's description of the ideal woman. God isn't chauvinist. He's our creator. And we would be wise to listen to what he has to say. And we see here in this Proverbs 31 woman is a wise woman. A woman who is a career woman. Is a woman that is smart. This is a woman that is lifted up by her husband. And it was written to not tear any woman down. It was written to build you up and to show you your God-given potential. And so starting in verse 1, we see it says, "The sayings of King Lemuel contain this message, which his mother taught him." So what's being written was taught to this king by his mother. And he seemed to love his mother so much, respect his mother so much, that he knew that other mothers, other women, needed to hear this message. "Oh, my son, O son of my womb, O son of my vows, do not waste your strength on women, on those who ruin kings. It is not for kings, O Lemuel, to guzzle wine. Rulers should not crave alcohol. For if they drink, they may forget the law and not give justice to the oppressed. Alcohol is for the dying, and wine for those in bitter distress. Let them drink to forget their poverty and remember their troubles no more. Speak up for those who cannot speak for themselves. Ensure justice for those being crushed. Yes, speak up for the poor and helpless and see that they receive justice." We see in the first point I want to make is godly mothers, not just any mother, not just anyone, but godly mothers give godly advice. Now, history doesn't tell us much about this king, but what we do know is he had a godly mother who taught him well, and she gave him some wise advice. And she starts off by saying, and the main point is, "My son, be careful in who you marry." Notice he didn't warn him about a woman, but about women, plural. And so every good mama wants her son to find a woman to marry. But not just anyone, but the right one. And I'll say this, that this is, though I believe taught in many churches, it seems to not always enter the mind or maybe enter the practice of our lives. And if you're young and you're single and you're waiting for that special someone, and I hope that you find that special someone, but Scripture is clear that God desires you to find another Christian, a believer in Christ, as well. The Bible is clear, especially in 1 Corinthians, of don't be unequally yoked. In other words, don't be unequal spiritually. That you have the same values, you have the same outlook. It doesn't mean that you agree on everything, of course not. It doesn't mean that you have everything in common. But if you're going to have a successful marriage, you must share the same values. And if you don't have the same values, it is a recipe for a disaster for your marriage. Find someone who loves Jesus and then find them. Marry them. Don't let them go. My wife, she met me. She was 18 years old. I'm 3 years older, not much older. I was 21. And she came up to for college days with her youth group from Florida to Missouri. And I was good friends with her ex-boyfriend. It's like, ooh, I like this. Give us more, preacher. He broke up with her, and I was just hanging out with him, and there she was. We met a couple different times, and the first time I met her, she was kind of quiet, and everyone got up from the table at lunch and left, and it was just her and me, and we were just eating there, and I thought, man, this girl is quiet, and she seems kind of difficult. And I'll keep my distance. And then that for dinner comes around, And she was not wearing glasses. Her hair now was up. She was wearing something else. And there was only one seat available. And she seated to my right. And I'm thinking, ooh, this girl she's very pretty. And I wonder who this is. I just sat next to her next to lunch. And I go, hi, what's your name? And she goes, you met me at lunch. Smooth. But she went, after that week, we started talking, short story. She went and told her mother she met the man she was going to marry. I didn't know that. I liked her. I was definitely interested. We started dating when she came to college that fall. And I feel so lucky to have godly mothers in my life, like my wife, my mother, my mother-in-law, my grandmothers, my one grandmother who's still with us. She's 90 years old. She has dementia. She doesn't know who anybody hardly is. She'll recognize me here and there. But, each day is a gift. Each day is a gift. Remember, I can't remember what clip it was. It was probably one of those short clips that I saw. It was with Danny DeVito. He was on some show. I can't remember what it even was, some movie. And him and his grandson are sitting on the side of the bed. And he said, you know what, grandson, getting old. And the grandson interjects and says, it sucks. That's what he said. All right, I'm just quoting. And he goes, no. Getting old is a gift. And I believe that to be true. Getting old is a gift. Your mother that God gave you is a gift. And some of the advice that our mothers give us, we should heed to. And besides your salvation, the second most important decision you will make will be who you marry. And much of your happiness in your life will come from that decision. Don't be haste. Haste makes waste. And some of you have felt the difficulty and the pain of hurtful things in your marriage and maybe even divorce. And eventually, maybe God has somebody, for you that will be a godly man or a godly woman. But we as believers are called to marry someone who is a Christian. And if you decide, you know what, I'm going to marry a Christian, that means you only need to date a Christian because you'll marry who you date. And so be wise. Be wise. It doesn't mean you have to be snobbish or someone who's not a Christian. It's not what I'm saying. There comes a point in time in this decision, it's going to affect your life. It's going to affect your family. It's going to affect your children. Be wise. Find someone who follows Christ and walk with them as you walk with the Lord. Then she gives advice of when it comes to drinking. Drinking is going to cloud your judgment and your leadership. Why should a leader drink? Well, sometimes leaders can be stressed. They can have anxiety. And this passage is not saying that drinking never goes on. It's saying that it gives a stiff warning against abusing alcohol, especially when you're stressed or you're anxious. And some have this in their mind. Well, I've had a bad day. I need a drink. Or I'm stressed. I need a drink. What ends up happening is we end up replacing the time in which we should run to Jesus and be on our knees in prayer, giving all those cares and anxieties to the Lord instead of trying to find something outside of Jesus to cover it up. And she's reminding this king, he's reminding this leader, don't run to it. Alcohol clouds our judgment. It can lead us to make poor decisions. Poor decisions in your family, with your children. Your children, they may even grow up to be Clemson fans. You never know. Like, you got to be careful when it comes to... That was mean. I'm sorry. It says, stand up for those who can't defend themselves. Children, special needs, abortion. There are things that men and women, godly men and women, should stand up for and say, that is wrong. That is sinful. To not do so is just as wrong. It's been said by Eisenhower, evil prevails when good men do nothing. And we need more good men and good women who will give godly advice and do godly things and stand up for what is right. We live in a day and age, or a day and age, where evil doesn't even hide any longer. Where morality, or the lack thereof, doesn't even care. And like I've said many times, we give the truth and we give it with love. And we should do both. We should stand up for what is right. Just as with any good mother, she starts off by giving her son wise advice. Here are some modern proverbs that I've read or heard recently. Some of them are better than others, but one, wear clean underwear. Nothing good happens after midnight. The early bird gets the worm. If you can't say anything nice, don't say anything at all. Don't cry over spilt. Treat others like you would want to be. Life's not fair. Clean your room or the bugs will make a home. You'll shoot your eye out, kid, right? Close the door. We don't live in a barn. Money doesn't grow on trees. What if everyone was jumping off a cliff? Would you do it too? I'm not your best friend. I'm your mama. Pretty is, pretty does. If a man doesn't love you enough to marry you, then he doesn't love you enough. Believe half of what you hear, half of what you see. Attitude is a choice. And my least favorite one is wait until your dad gets home. Why do wise women give advice? Proverbs 14:1 says, a wise woman builds her home, but a foolish woman tears it down with her own hands. So give godly advice. Even when those children, even when they become teenagers and they really don't want to hear it, they need to hear it. And our jobs as parents is not always to give what our kids want, but to give them what they need. And they will remember that. So godly mothers, they give godly advice. Godly mothers are diligent. Notice from verse 10, we'll read a little bit here to verse 27. Who can find a virtuous and capable wife? She is more precious than rubies. Her husband can trust her, and she will greatly enrich his life. She brings him good, not harm, all the days of his life. She finds wool and flax and busily spins it. She is like a merchant ship bringing her food from afar, and she gets up before dawn to prepare breakfast for her household and plan the day's work for her servant girls. She goes to inspect the field and buys it. With her earnings, she plants a vineyard. She's energetic and strong, a hard worker. She makes sure her dealings are profitable. Her lamp burns late into the night. Her hands are busy spinning thread, her fingers twisting fiber. She extends a helping hand to the poor and opens her arms to the needy. She has no fear of winter for her household, for everyone has warm clothes. She makes her own bedspreads. She dresses in fine linen and purple gowns. Her husband is well known in the city gates where he sits with other civic leaders. She makes belted linen garments and sashes to sell to the merchants. She is clothed with strength and dignity, and she laughs without fear of the future. And when she speaks, her words are wise. She gives instructions with kindness. She carefully watches everything in her household and suffers nothing from laziness. And as we read this, reminded that this is the kind of woman any woman can be, not just by her own strength or merit, but with the Lord's help. It's the example in which a godly mother can be. His mother continues to give him advice for what kind of wife he should be looking for. For you young ladies, this is what God desires for you, for you to become. This list is not meant to discourage, but encourage, of what, as you stay focused on the Lord, as you walk with Jesus, that He is molding you more and more into Christ. And Proverbs 31 gives us more of an idea of what He is doing in the heart of a woman and what He wants to do. Some have the idea that the ideal woman is domestic. That a good woman sticks to the three C's. Cook, clean, conceive, and that's it. But we see here in Proverbs 31 that it goes much, much deeper. Now, I realize there's some mamas. My mother was, for the most part, a stay-at-home mom. And no mom is just a stay-at-home mom. There's so much that goes into it. So much that a mom does. And for some of you mamas, that's where your heart's at. You're like, I want to stay home with my babies. And maybe that's for a season. Maybe it's for the entire time. There's nothing wrong with that at all. There's some mamas, you feel like, you know what, maybe for a time, but it's time for me to get back to work. I have these ambitions. I have these things I want to do. And guess what? There's nothing wrong with that either. And there's times in which it's been taught, I've heard it taught before in some churches of, well, a woman should not work, just a man should work. But here's the issue. What do you do with Proverbs 31 if a woman is never meant to work outside of the home? Because we see a lady here. This is a woman that is sharp. This is a woman who is a realtor. This is a woman who is buying a field. That she is a businesswoman. She is making deals. She's honoring her husband. She's not just running her household, but she's running a business. I mean, this is a woman that is on top of things. She is very, very sharp. So maybe God put something in your heart as a woman, and you wonder, should I do that? How can I balance being a wife, a mother, and maybe a business or a career? And you're wondering, should I do that? And while that's something every single person should pray about and seek guidance about and wisdom about and seek the Lord and pray about that, there's nothing wrong with it. There's nothing wrong with it. And we see with this lady right here, she is a manufacturer. She's an importer. She's a manager. She's a realtor. She's a farmer. She's a seamstress. She's an upholsterer. I mean, she's a merchant. And we see throughout Scripture, that when the Bible was written, that women were viewed as property. But as God gave clear instruction in His Word, especially in the Old Testament, that women were to be valued, that are to be loved. And the further you go into the New Testament, you see how God, and even the Old Testament as well, where God used different women at different times to benefit the church, to help the church, to even take men like the preacher Apollos aside, where Aquila and Priscilla took him aside and taught him some of the deeper things of God. And maybe God has put something in your heart to know more the deeper teachings of Scripture. And ladies, I just want to say that you should do that. You should do that. And sometimes in some of our churches, it's the idea of women should only know so much possibly, or should study and dig into Scripture only so much. But as you read about the women in the Bible, man, some of them, they dug in deep. They helped teach even Apollos. And so, ladies, if you're wondering, well, I don't know about some theology, I don't know about this, you should. When the Scripture says that we should study ourselves to be approved unto God, that's for all of us. That we should study Scripture. We should be ready to give an answer. And that we should never cease to study Scripture. What's so interesting in this passage is this virtuous woman, this virtuous wife, that nowhere will you see that her looks are mentioned. It doesn't say that looks are not important. It doesn't say that you shouldn't take care of yourself, that you shouldn't be desire to maybe look a certain way if you want to desire to look that way. But it focuses on her character. We've heard the saying, pretty is, pretty does. Why does someone say that for the most part? They're saying they might be pretty on the outside, but are they really pretty on the inside? Is there really, do they have the character? Gentlemen, eventually looks, all of our looks fade, but character maintains. And the character of a woman, the character of us all, should be what matters most. Her strength and dignity don't come from her looks. It comes from her faith. So being a Proverbs 31 woman is not about being perfect. It's about living with purpose. It's about living with diligence, forgiveness, and repentance. Aubrey Hepburn, if you don't know who she is, she was an actress, a beautiful actress years ago, died before my time. But at her funeral, something was shared about her beauty tips. I thought this was really good and really fits in with Proverbs 31. And it was read at her funeral. It said, "For attractive lips, speak words of kindness. For lovely eyes, seek out the good in people. For a slim figure, share your food with the hungry. For beautiful hair, let a child run his or her fingers through it once a day. For poise, walk with the knowledge that you never walk alone. People, even more than things, have to be restored, renewed, revived, reclaimed, redeemed. Never throw out anyone." It continues to say, "Remember, if you ever need a helping hand, you will find one at the end of each of your arms. And as you grow older, you will discover that you have two hands, one for helping yourself and the other for helping others. Beauty is in the eye of the beholder." So what is a godly woman? What are some of the characteristics of a godly woman? One, faith. A virtuous woman serves God with all of her heart, soul, and mind. She seeks His will for her life and follows the Lord's ways. Marriage. A virtuous woman respects her husband. She does good to him all the days of her life. She is trustworthy and a helpmate. Mothering. A virtuous woman teaches her children the ways of the Heavenly Father and nurtures her children with love, the love of Christ, disciplines them, disciples them with care and wisdom, and trains them in the way in which they should go. Health. A virtuous woman cares for her body. She prepares healthy food for her family. Service. A virtuous woman serves her husband, her family, her friends, her neighbors with a gentle and loving spirit. She is charitable. When it comes to finances, she seeks her husband's approval before making purchases, spends money wisely. And anyway, a family, a husband and wife, should be a team when it comes to finances, be on the same page. Industry. A virtuous woman works willingly with her hands. She sings praises of God and does not grumble while completing her task. Homemaking. A virtuous woman is a homemaker. She creates an inviting atmosphere and love for her family and guests. She uses hospitality to minister to those around her. As men, I can tell you, we greatly appreciate this because we know what it looked like. It'd be a bachelor's pad, right? Time. A godly woman uses her time wisely. She works diligently to complete her task. And then beauty. A virtuous woman is a woman of worth and beauty. She has an inner beauty that only comes from Christ. And with her children, with her daughter, if she has one, she teaches them some of the greatest things that her daughter can know. It's not how to put on makeup, but it's about how to have the makeup of a godly woman. Hard work over laziness. To put on righteousness rather than the right clothes. To value the value of modesty over popularity. To remind her that she is beautifully and wonderfully made. When it comes to being a person God is calling us to be, we all need His help. Scripture tells us in Hebrews 11:6, but without faith, it is impossible to please him, for he who comes to God must believe that he is, and he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. And last but not least, verse 28. And bless her. Her husband praises her. There are many virtues and capable women in the world, but you surpass them all. Charm is deceitful and beauty does not last. But a woman who fears the Lord will be greatly praised. Reward her for all that she's done. Let her deeds publicly declare her praise. Ladies, I'll end with this. The greatest thing you could teach your child, the greatest thing you could ever teach them, is to fear the Lord. To fear the Lord. To have a respect for the things of God. To know that God loves them. And while we need to fear God, we don't need to live in fear of him. I don't think he desires that. But we must have a reverent fear of the Lord. I've told this story before, but I'll tell it again. I remember when I was 16 and I was getting my license. I couldn't wait. Let freedom ring, right? I'm ready to go. My mother sat me down, and I'm the oldest of four, so when you're the oldest, you're the test child. Said, Lucas, you're getting ready to go and drive for the first time. And I want you to know that you're now going to have the opportunity to do things that maybe I'll never find out about. But we've raised you in church. And I know that you love the Lord and that you are saved. And while there may be some things I find out about and I could punish you, I want you to know that God sees everything you do. And he loves you far more than I could even ever love you. And I want you to know that because he loves you so much, he also could punish you far greater than I could ever punish you. Here's your keys. Have a good day. What was my mother trying to tell me? Lucas, you better have a reverent fear of God. And godly mothers do just that with their children. They don't teach them to be afraid of God. They teach them there's a line when it comes to the Lord. Because fearing God plus wise decisions equal blessings. And every mother, I believe, wants to see God bless their children. Wants to see their child grow to honor the Lord. And as we've heard it said before, when it comes to our fathers, when it comes to our mothers, the apple doesn't fall far from the tree. The greatest thing, mamas, as you teach your children to fear the Lord, it's not necessarily even raising them in church. That's definitely important. But that they see Christ in you during the week. When they see Christ in you, they see how much you really do love the Lord. They realize how much you care about the Lord. They see the importance of it. And in time, they mirror that. Because our children, with our children, more is caught. More is caught than taught. And they will catch your love for the things of God. Let us pray. Father, on this Mother's Day, We honor you by honoring our mothers. Reminded how Jesus loved and cared for his mother. An example in which you give us in Scripture. That his mother was there at the scene of the cross as you bled and died for our sins, offering grace and mercy and forgiveness to all who will believe. Lord, we love you. We praise you and thank you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Hey, before you go, next Sunday we're going to have a baptism. And maybe you've been putting off getting baptized and you would like to be baptized. Shoot me a message. Let me know. And if you need to get baptized, next week would be a good week to do just that. And I believe at this time we are going to have... We had to do things a little bit different here this morning, but he's going to come up. Josh is going to come up, give announcements, and then we'll have our offering, and then we'll be dismissed. Brother Joshua, go ahead.